You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Janae's Uniform Center, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
Here's how you can become a talking head, brought to you by BTC.
You got it locked and loaded to the Wednesday, July 24th edition. And Mr. Producer, I know this wasn't your last Wednesday. This Wednesday, what's going on Wednesday, man? I need to bring you a care package for Wednesday. Just let me know, you know. I could bring a six-pack or I could bring a boy. Don't matter. Let me know. I can make sure you're straight. You're all right with me. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. along with my better half, Mary Jane. Good to see you, MJ.
Good afternoon. Good to be here. Always fun.
There you go. We got a very special guest in studio. We'll be talking to Mr. Matt Aubrey from Org in short order on the flip side of the break. But, of course, here's how you become a talking head. Here's how you chime in. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Phone lines open in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com. That's guardiantalkradio.com. BTC Flow Channel 612, Cable Channel 969. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh new smart talk all day. Right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And right about now, it's time to check out the headlines. What's blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian?
It's time for Headliners. Everything that's making headlines in the 242. Brought to you by the Fine Threads.
And, of course, be sure to check out both Fine Thread locations Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. They're available for you. Flagship store, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, and the Southwest Shopping Plaza location. And just check them out online, finethreads.com. You can do your shopping online, then arrange for pickup at any one of those convenient Fine Thread locations. All right. But, you see, listen, I brag all the time. I believe you caused this indirectly, MJ. Matt, you too. I have the biggest and the best listeners in the business, you know, and they biggity by. They would just jump right in and say, afternoon, nobody need to hear your voice with MJ and Matt in the studio. Please shut up.
Oh.
Only suckers will say something like that, you know.
I think I know who that
and
is.
I think I know who that
Good
is,
afternoon.
Too.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
We appreciate the vote of confidence.
Yes.
There you go. Well, that's how you chime in. Let's check out the headlines real quick. PMH morgue staff sit out, bodies piled up after diesel spill. Not like we had enough issues with the morgue already and corpses being there for months and months on end.
Yeah.
Now we have this. And guess what? Working in a diesel spill is no conditions to be working in. Period. I don't care what office you're in. If you got a diesel spill, you need people out of there. And why are we having a diesel spill at the morgue?
What's the ETA on the cleanup and for things to go back to normal?
10 mortuary staff members have refused to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And while staff tried to work on Saturday so the bodies could be taken out for burial, the morgue is becoming more and more crowded.
Right.
Mm. Let me switch to A2. I don't see anything saying when there's going to be an official cleanup. We tried to do something on the weekend because of spacing constraints and dead people coming in. A major concern is the undertakers were not able to get the bodies in a timely manner to get them prepared for burial. We are already working with limited spacing with funeral homes not being able to take their bodies out for burial. We have a major problem because there is no space.
Mm-hmm.
In a statement on Saturday, the Public Hospitals Authority said it had investigated complaints of strong diesel odor and undertook work to remedy it. Following reports of a strong diesel odor within the hospital premises, a prompt and thorough investigation was conducted.
Okay.
The source of the odor was traced to a leaking pipeline, leading to immediate isolation of the affected area, remedial work, and thorough cleaning to eradicate the odor and address any potential hazards.
And that was done when? Sorry.
On Saturday.
Saturday. So obviously not to the satisfaction of the staff.
And the union.
And the union. So, yeah, more follow-up is needed. It's on the front page of the Guardian, so hopefully we'll hear more and they'll, you know, remedy that situation.
Yeah, because like they said, the morgue has had issues for a long time prior to this.
Agreed, but they're saying they did the cleanup, and the staff, obviously, and the union, like you said, are not satisfied. So it hasn't been done to their satisfaction, and that's what it's going to take for them to go back on the job, which they obviously need to do because
of the dire situation.
And the bodies are piled up, you know.
Bahamas National Trust, Arthur Island should be protected.
Hmm.
I think all of our islands and keys should be protected.
Right. But
especially from rogue operations.
We're focused on this one in particular because there's been so much, and I was trying to follow what was happening in the House of Assembly. I know that, you know, the MP for St. Anne's, Adrian White, was one of the voices that really brought a lot of attention to whatever is happening over there on Athol Island. There was some sort of a back and forth between whether or not approvals had been given, whether or
correct.
Not the documents proving that approvals had been given had been tabled.
And then miraculously the next day, Mr. Lundy appears and says, everything cool, everything copacetic, everything
and
in order.
Tabled it and
how's they?
I think there's other reporting in the other daily that, you know, speaks to the fact that there have been some approvals
but
given.
It's interesting. I always say connect the dots, you know, connect the dots with Athol Island. Connect the dots. Look at the law firm. Connect the dots. Look who's involved. Yes, connect
but the
dots. The
thing is, we wanted the names. And I think it's such a simple, it's such a simple ask. This isn't private business. This is
well, you know it's coming when
business.
I say this, and not because you're here, but without the proper Freedom of Information Act, we can't get none of this.
We keep coming back to the same issues.
Crux. You know, it's crazy. I think a lot of Bahamians would like to know about what's going on at Athol Island. Obviously, when you have the Bahamas National Trust make a statement that Athol Island has a rich history and is worthy of being preserved and shared. When you have an operation,
right?
And when you have a developer who's harming the environment to develop the island.
Possibly.
That don't make no sense.
We need more information, but yeah, we'll see.
I wouldn't know how you get there in the first place. To do harm to the environment, because it seems like overnight this has just appeared.
I know that there have been some other investors that have spoken to the fact that they've been trying for years and years to get permission.
And meanwhile, Mr.
And
Toby Smith's got to take blow after blow and go to the Privy Council as a Bahamian to get his operation running. It's going to preserve a historical lighthouse and make Paradise Island accessible to Bahamians.
Right.
And foreign entities set up shop, no problem. And we can't get any information as to who, what, why, when, where, and how. Next one. Eleuthera Water System back online. Water and Sewage
good.
Corporation receives new plant for the island. Thank God for that. It's
good.
Been a long time
finally,
coming.
Finally, you know.
But I think the days of water being delivered by a vote and truck in Eleuthera are over. I think, you know, that people can finally rely on worthy potable water. Has to be. I don't want to hear nothing in a couple of months Eleuthera don't have no water, you know.
Yeah.
And finally, government enters into agreement with nonprofit to potentially sue firearms dealers.
That is, I'm following that case. It's so interesting. All right, so to my mind, this is like a real wild shot in the dark, you know, based on just the way that the U.S. is, the way they are with their gun laws. It's so difficult right now even to get movement on that. You know, they're so deadlocked with the way that, you know, half their country views guns and gun laws. And so this particular lawsuit that we're, you know, a part of, I'm following it. Personally, I'm a bit skeptical. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. It may sound good, but yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. I just don't see it going anywhere. That's my skepticism. I could be very wrong.
Listen.
I could be very wrong.
Skepticism.
No, because when you look at it, let's look at it just for a second. If you look at all of the school shootings, the very tragic school shootings that happen over and repeatedly in the United States, and the fact that you don't get any kind of movement in terms of banning some of these semi-automatic weapons, these, you know, what they call weapons of war, they don't get any movement on being able to ban some of those. I just wonder if we're going to get anywhere with this particular lawsuit. Like I said, in my mind, I don't think so, but never know. They may find a loophole or something in there.
I'm just trying to
and
be.
And maybe something can happen.
I'm just trying to be as diplomatic as I can when I say this, but I think this is another op, as in photo op for photo op Phil.
I mean, we need something to happen.
I look good.
We need something to happen.
We're talking about gun violence globally.
A gun problem in this country, too, but...
Hold on, my sciatica just flared up. 1 second.
I wish them good luck. I hope something happens that, you know...
I do hope something does come out of that.
...better and easier here for us, because we're suffering right now.
Because we've lost a countless...
Under the gun as well.
Young men and women to the scourge of gun violence over the years, and it's getting progressively worse. It's not getting any better. We may not have a crime problem, but we got a murder and we got a gun problem. So we got issues that we need to work on.
That is the crime problem, right?
There you go. All right, that's a wrap right there on your headlines. Who are us making headlines in the 242? I'll brought to you, of course, by Fine Threads. We'll take a quick break. Flip side of the break, I get to your text.
And a special guest.
And we'll be getting into the buzz, brought to you by John Hsu and our special guest, Mr. Matt Aubrey from Aubrey. We're going to have a great candid conversation, so keep it right where you got it. The Wednesday, July 24th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Epi chita, s'il vous plaît, y aprele pou radiografi ou. Tale, se sa ki fè yorele Saltan. Ou pa gen problem nan Fortaleza Diagnostic Center, image at Grosvenor's, nou pa jam fè plize rendez-vous rezultat. Sa vle di, entre, soti. Si test depi stajou moutwe ekran, radiolog nou ka kondi alternatif test depi taj sa. Kounya la menm. Ou bien, relez-nous dans 328-8157 pour faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, Image à Grosvenor, ou bien relez-nous dans 328-8157, faire rendez-vous à Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, Image à Grosvenor, ou bien visitez location nous, Kamakelod, Chaudia.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Together when everybody out, yeah. Fried chicken we are free, bucket for the crow. Share a bucket together, everybody go live. Ooh. Crispy original when we're online.
Bucket together and do the new dance craze.
Hot KFC summer bucket deal. 8 pieces of your favorite fried chicken and 4 buttery biscuits with options to add family fries, a 2-liter switcher, and 4 pineapple biscuits. Starting at $20. KFC, it's finger licking good.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John Shoes.
Rabbi, I got you on the Wednesday, July 24th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty in your company along with Mary Jane right up until 6 p.m. We got our special guest, Matt Aubrey from ORG. Glad to see you again, Matt. You know, you're no stranger to the show. Glad to have you back. And what's going on? How about as well be you and the fam?
Always great to be here. Family's doing okay. We're working hard 365 at ORG. Our team is pushing forward. All those headlines you talk about have the implication.
Yes.
When we see the same things coming up in the headlines, it reinforces that we still need to make systemic change. So
right.
We're always working in that space of trying to learn from what we read about what's going on today, but figure out ways that we can avoid it happen going to the future. So whether it be laws or getting citizens involved and aware and setting up systems where we can get feedback and input and helping to mobilize civil society organizations to be more sustainable and effective at all the things they do so that citizens and private sector folks can get involved, it's going to take that kind of collective effort because we've got to make a change long term. We can't just fix the thing now and put a Band-Aid on it. We've
right.
got to heal and move forward.
I was so happy about the conversation we had prior, before the budget. I think that's the last time, because when the debate took place in the House, one of the things I was looking for mm-hmm. was what kind of resources they would put towards it, because we talked about how
right.
that would indicate whether or not, okay, this is the year
right.
that they're really serious, they're going to put the resources that we need behind it. And unfortunately, I was disappointed
mm-hmm.
once again.
Well, and I mean, and you're right. That last conversation we had at that point talked about how critical it is for citizens to understand how government is making their decisions
right.
and how they're going to spend the taxpayers' money. And unfortunately, we did not see in this budget a major investment for either freedom of information, or we didn't see the words ombudsman in there. We
right.
didn't see national development plan.
Not even ZAW.
Right. All of those things we didn't see that had been talked about. Of the potential plan for, there was some further investment in the Public Disclosures Committee, but,
right.
but that needs to be supported with different kind of legislation. So that was some indicator. But what was really interesting is while we were having that conversation, we actually had been doing some work with a group of high schoolers in Leadership Academy.
Mm.
And we've been kind of going through a process, I think it was over about 6 weeks, and we met with them every week, a couple of times a week, to teach them a little bit about how does the government make its budgets? What is the budgeting process?
Right.
Where can you find that information? And we even and kind of helping them to understand if they want to address things, how do you get that information and use it to hopefully develop some recommendations and advocate? And their interest was in climate change. Their interest was in making sure that there will be a Bahamas in the future.
Yep.
And so they started to look at the monies that were allocated in last year's budget. They met with the governor of the central bank, John Roll. They even went to see the Echo Park. And for them, it really tied in what the numbers mean in real life.
Oh, that is so cool.
And so
cool.
If we have a group of high schoolers that can do that, well, you know what? That means everybody can. So that kind of understanding that when I see a thing, either a newspaper headline, or I hear a story, or I hear my favorite political party say one thing or another, it's really important for you to be able to have a critical way to assess what do you think about it and what's
right.
the reality that lies in there. And numbers tend to tell you the truth a little bit more than just the speculation.
How were the teenagers after that that whole process?
Incredibly empowered. What was funny was this had been the first time we tried this project. It's a pilot and something that we're going to look to expand in the fall. But we came in with the expectation that they might become a little bit familiar. But we thought, you know, why are high schoolers going to want to know what the budgeting cycle is,
right.
or when the time is, or what place to go on the website to look at this, or look at the long, expansive budget. And about midway through, from what I understand, they caught fire. And when they came out to the end of this, they put these presentations together, which, again, we were like, even if they just give us the base, they were complex. They were down to the nitty-gritty. They were
surprise
like, we
you,
need
right?
these many people at the Echo Park, and we need investment
wow.
in these areas. And so the potential, which we forget sometimes because the status quo
right.
you know, makes you forget about that, the potential that is there is tremendous. So think about a citizenry that understands where to get information about how things are being spent, can go and look at the procurement platform to say, if a contract was given, who was it given to and why was it given to? If they hear, hey, in the debate, they're going to invest in renewable energy, or they're going to change things, or they're going to do whatever needs to happen, work on fixing the roads or reduce traffic fatalities or whatever the concern might be, you should be able to go and find what's the law that is now going to help to make that happen, and what's the funding that's going to make that happen, and does that make sense? And if they put that money but it didn't happen, then that's one question. If they put that money and it did happen, that's a thing to then be excited about and be able to say, okay, now what do we do next?
Right.
That kind of dialogue, that involvement from citizens is absolutely possible, but it requires us being intentional, us opening up our minds, us preventing information, and ultimately government being more transparent and more accountable reinforces that. But we've also got to make sure that folks are demanding that in a meaningful and a productive way.
I know we talked about this before, but when you keep bucking up against the status quo, when you see things aren't changing and you raise your voice a little bit louder, you know, you say it a little bit harder, like, come on, we want this now, we're ready for this, we need this, you promised this, and still no change, it's very disheartening.
And I think a lot of people have had that experience, and when people are questioning, hey, will it ever change, I don't think that's just, you know, throw your hands up in the air and suck teeth. I think it's true. I think people have seen that experience and struggled with governance. And it hasn't been one administration or another. It's been multiple administrations.
Yeah.
But it's also not... I think that's also what we have to understand, is that most of the issues that we're struggling with are probably not going to be fixed in any five-year cycle.
Right.
Much less a cycle where it's not really 5 years. It's 1 year to understand what was done by the last group, a couple of years to actually do some work, and then another year where you're spending trying to get reelected. And if you don't, then all of a sudden we start back from scratch. That kind of back and forth is really challenging. So when you assume that, hey, government's going to fix this, the reality is we all need to have an investment, because the citizens and the business owners and the students and the youth, we're the ones that are there no matter what. They're the ones that are going to always be there to see a project started. We're the most affected. This is what needs to be solved. And we can make the determination, did that work or not? What needs to really be happening? Sitting back and waiting for it to be fixed isn't a solution that works for us.
No. But I think that we're not at the point where sufficient time has passed where, because even though we're switching administrations, we're getting a lot of the same players. They're getting a lot of the same players at the table. So, yes, we sometimes when we make these switches, of course, we may change the head guy in charge. The prime minister may change. But a lot of the other ministers around the table and a lot of the other decision makers, a lot of the technocrats don't change. They're still there, and we're still not getting the results.
Well, but when you look at the Westminster system, it wasn't organized for it to be run through one gate.
Right.
Right? It's representative democracy. So folks are being put in place to be able to hear and listen to the interests of their constituents and bring that forward in a way that then the not only the cabinet but also the overall government can hear and benefit from that perspective. Right now, what we've seen in the last number of administrations are these super majorities where, at least in the last two, the majority of folks in the House of Assembly are brought forward as part of the cabinet.
Right.
So there may be very lively and fair and robust debates that are happening in cabinet, but based on the way the system is organized, you will never know what that is or see what it is. And even in the scope of freedom of information, when it will ultimately be enacted, won't allow for that access to be there.
I believe that's hotel in Grand Bahama before we get the Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, you got to set up one of those March Madness pools.
But speaking of Freedom of Information Act, there's a couple of questions that I had arise. Obviously, you know the stance of the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, who wears multiple hats, but obviously when he puts the chairman hat on, he lets everybody know that he has no interest in the Freedom of Information Act.
But that stated position doesn't seem to be too different, at least in the end result, of what happened in the last administration or the administration before.
Everybody following this, getting the same, you know, chain letter and running with it. And at the end of the day, it's cool, it's chic, it's trendy to talk about a Freedom of Information Act on the campaign trail. But, you don't want them words when you get in power.
Well, Freedom of Information is not the only or the silver bullet that's going to solve it all. We've got lots of pieces of legislation that are now being put forward, and so all of them need to come forward in order to achieve what we want. They all right now, Freedom of Information, I think, holds the the metal for the longest that hasn't fully developed.
And we need to see it, and because it's been promised for a long time. And right. Because obviously we need to find out via a viable functioning procurement act, which doesn't happen, who right. gets what, why, when, where, and how, and if they're qualified and so on and so forth. We get none of that.
Well, but you and I are going to go back a little bit on this, because the truth is, although we don't have the end product, we're closer than we've ever been on a lot of these pieces. So let's say we're seeing 75%.
I'm just trying to kick you across the finish line. I'm just trying to push you across the line. I'm trying to get it over there. I got to kick you, drop a rocket to your back, get a horse and carriage. We're getting across the line. We're getting this.
It's time for the audible.
Because when I have Texas text in and say, Norty, please let Matt know how imperative it is for us to have it. A big crux, and I've got three or four texts right here. Norty, we would like to know how many MPs have disclosed, and when we can see their disclosures. And right. when you have in the Tribune, story by Keel Campbell, the Public Disclosures Commission Chairman Bishop Victor Cooper wrongly claimed, if you don't know the law about the, you know,
right.
you're given bad information. Yes, it is most capable. The law says you can gazette and vet the disclosures of MPs. You right. work for us. I want to know how you came in as a $1,000 heir and left as a millionaire. I need to know that.
And that's a critical part of the relationship, the what we would call
a social. And this administration should have somebody who's in charge of the commission who at least knows the law and knows his armpit from his elbow on it.
If you have the law.
Because I mean, that to me as a comedian, I could go so many ways with that. So many ways.
If you have the law, it should be enforced, because otherwise it doesn't really meet the need. We've put some information right now, and we're doing our finalized report on this, but benchmarking public disclosures law. When you look at the public disclosures law, you're seeing it really being a critical piece of information, because fundamentally we're having an issue across the world, but definitely here and in our region, with public trust.
Right.
If the public doesn't trust that the laws that are being passed or the people in charge are serving their interests, then they tend to find ways to either not comply, go around, sit back, not participate. I mean, we already saw a drop-off in the voting numbers in the last election. Right. And I'm sure some of that was influenced from COVID and some from the permanent registry. But if we continue that process and people continue to step back, because why would I even vote? Does it really matter?
The antipathy.
All of a sudden, a smaller group of people are making decisions, and ultimately that tends to support the status quo that we talk about.
We got some criticism recently from the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. That was interesting as well. And in reading about some of the criticisms that they, you know, put forward about us, I mean, they say that we, you know, the government has complete disregard, or some politicians have complete disregard towards complying with the Public Disclosure Act. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair criticism when you look at where we are and the fact that some people, we heard that some didn't comply. We just never found out who the ones right. were. And I think that's terrible. We should know who didn't comply. But they also talked about, you know, the small scale bribes. We've talked about this so much before. And then, you know, just about, you know, bureaucratic impediments. They talk about delays, you know, with our services. This is something that's frustrating to a lot of Bahamians. Tell me a little bit more about the Integrity Commission.
Mm-hmm.
That was talked about as well.
So the Integrity Commission was a piece of legislation. It's a piece of legislation that's being used widely in the region, widely in the world.
Right.
But Trinidad and Barbados and Jamaica and I think Turks and Caicos, a couple of other places, Guyana, they have Integrity Commissions. These are set up as independent bodies that are outside of the political influence. They serve to receive, and it can be a wide scope of things, but they tend to say they receive the information or claims of corruption.
Right.
They vet them, and if they find validity in that claim, then they move forward usually with the support of the local law enforcement or
do they have teeth? Now tell me, do they have teeth in these other places, or this is just another thing? That's a thing, but doesn't, this is a toothless tiger.
Right. So everything is in its own jurisdiction going to be a little bit different.
Right.
But the way that the law that was put forward by the last administration, not the law, the bill that was put forward in the last administration that was tabled but never debated and we've used as a potential benchmark does reflect that there are some consequences, there are some resources, and there are some things as Naughty said, to be able to bring information to a public space.
Right.
And once that's done, then the expectation is that there's a level of civic oversight that happens. When public disclosures are being propped forward and you say, well, we see that these folks have not complied and there's not been an excuse or an exception made, then all of a sudden there's a way for that information to be able to reinforce folks and incentivizes folks to disclose. I do want to say something about that, the U.S. report, though.
Right.
It was an investment report, and I think it was ultimately a very positive one. When you look at the whole statement, because they're looking at us in the context of the world.
Right.
The world is struggling right now with transparency and accountability. We are doing so in our own space, but so is the world. But by and large, we forget that all of these pieces of legislation, some of which that are in the middle of development, some have not been brought forward, some continue to kind of be sat aside and get no attention, all of those come together for a lot of positive things that come from it. And investment report is an interesting place to hear about it because we think about that from an external standpoint. Hey, we want people from away to say they want to come invest here.
And feel,
but,
you know.
But the truth is you don't want everybody to do that. You want the best of class. You want people that say, I want to go there because my business does things with the best ideas, the coolest new tech, the new ideas, and we want it to be done in a place where that's recognized. You don't want people coming here because, oh, well, I can go to the Bahamas and I think I can get away.
They can hear that and say, ooh, they're very slack down there. Right. We could go do X, Y, Z there.
So we want the best of class. We want good investment because when that investment happens, that's where we see good results. That's where development and benefits to our economic systems sustain. They stick. They stay, right, when something done well. But think about also our local investment and the importance of having and believing in a system that has integrity, believing in a system where your ideas and the way you work actually matter more than who you know or how you get around a system. We saw that in COVID. We need our small businesses to be successful. We need our small businesses to grow up into mid-sized businesses. We need our mid-sized businesses to grow up into long-term. And that requires those people running those businesses believing that if I put my time, my effort, and my resources into it, I'm going to have a fair shake to be able to make this thing grow. The types of success that we can see if we had a more sustainable local economy on our family islands, in our communities that tend to struggle, wow, that's tremendous. We did a study not that long ago that looked at small businesses that were affected in Abaco and Grand Bahama after both Dorian and then COVID. Mm-hmm. And what we found is that the numbers we looked at is there probably was about 20 to 30% of businesses that were informal, right? These are just, everybody's got a little side gig. Right. I'm baking on the side. I'm doing hair on the side. Right. I'm whatever. Well, go back a couple of years. Well, the IDB did a study and found the same percentage was probably likely in our overall economy. That means those folks are not necessarily contributing in any way taxes-wise. They're not, but they're also not benefiting from the potential protections that if they get hit by a disaster, they have something to come back to. We had a lot of money that went to helping businesses to restore in those spaces, but all those groups that didn't have a footprint because they didn't have business licenses. But we have to make an environment where you believe that going through all the bureaucracy and making the investment,
national insurance up to date, all these kinds of things.
But that it's going to be worth it for you, your family, and for your community. If you're incentivizing people to stay small, keep it in their own, you know, keep it below the waterline, or not invest because why would I take the risk? Because I think it's really going to be handed to the person who knows the person at the ministry or can make those things move. Then we see a contracted belief. We see people feeling skeptical. We feel people who feel don't confident. So when we think about promoting all these pieces of legislation, the Freedom of Information, the Integrity Commission, public disclosures, full enactment of the procurement portal where it works not just for some of our contracts, but all of our contracts, including our state-owned enterprises, when you see an ombudsman in place, that becomes a mechanism that if you feel the system hasn't done you right, you can go to and it'll help to navigate those things. When all of those things are in place, the intention is to reinforce that people see their interests reflected in the government, that their taxes that they put forward meet their and benefit themselves on a daily basis. Or if we got to go through some struggle to get there, like getting back our NIB to a place, you understand why we're doing and what we're doing and why it might be pain now for potential positive for us and our kids going down the line. That's crucial. If we do these one-off things or lots of things are happening but they aren't being brought together, we're not going to see that benefit.
I got a couple of texts here, Matt, and I think, I guess we're a regular on this show and on Dwight and other shows here on Guardian. I think, you know, the Texans want a consensus. And basically the gist that I'm getting is, what's Org's take on the latest set of stories involving corruption amongst the Royal Bahamas police force? Alleged corruption. And, you know, I went to college. I don't want to date myself, but I went to college when they had the Miami River cops, all right? We all know about that. We've all heard about the Rampart District. We've all seen Training Day. Mm-hmm. And God forbid, you know, I go to bat for the police, and I would always say a few bad apples can't spoil a bunch. And I always respect the fact that the Royal Bahamas Police Force, while my wife and I are sleeping, while you're sleeping, they're out there protecting us so we could sleep away from their families. And I never take that out of the equation. But I also grew up knowing the police are supposed to be a friend. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to protect and serve. And I think there's a huge disconnect right now between society and the force because of all these allegations going on and the fear of alleged extrajudicial killings, which serve no place in society, anywhere in civilized culture.
Right. And that connection between transparency and accountability is really what fleshes that out. If you know, as you said, most systems, the assumption is most systems have more people doing the right thing than the wrong thing. When that bad apple or that circumstance happens, though, right now, when people are not trusting systems, and they're not just trusting government, they're not trusting not-for-profits like us, they're not trusting the media houses, they're not trusting banks.
I almost said something funny to say about non-for-profit, but let me leave that.
Everybody's suspect. This is the era that we're living in.
It's a time where a lot of people feel in crisis, can't afford to do what you need to do, and so you tend to say, I'm going to take care of mine, and I, you know, I'm not going to be so invested in what happens across the fence because I need to make sure what I have and the people I love are taken care of. But that perpetuates a system that has not gotten results. So when you look at the current allegations, the current reports, the current things, all of that indicates exactly what Org has been talking about. So these things are addressed not only here, across the world. We actually were at the International Anti-Corruption Conference in Lithuania a couple of weeks back, and Stefan. And it reaffirmed that, one, we're not unique. Like, this is going on across the world. There were 2,000 people from 120-some countries, and some of them were in much worse circumstances than us, and some were better. But what people are doing to fight it is this combination of making sure that laws are transparent and clear, but also making sure that citizens have a role, a meaningful role, in not only understanding what those laws are, getting those laws passed, but also making sure that when those laws are passed, that they come to fruition the way that they were intended. So when we work in the community, last year we were in 10 different islands going across communities that don't really get talked to a lot, to let them know and listen to them about what are your challenges and how could you get involved in your own community, and then think about maybe how you get involved in the island and maybe involved in working on the nation. A lot of people talk about the fact that historically they've not had positive experiences. They have not been listened to. They don't understand the way the system works. So we have to do a lot to build people back into that space. It's like when your muscles have gone a little soft after, you know, you haven't been back to the gym. We got to get people back to the gym to be able to do that. Because the concept of having an independent, transparent, and accountable mechanism in place only works if, one, you believe that really is a viable and truthful opportunity, but also that the system has mechanisms to make sure there are checks and balances. So when we think about you know, the dialogue that happened about the way the police were going to investigate this, and we heard from some independent groups that say they would come and support it. Right. That's great. That is best practices. But if that's the case for best practices, why wouldn't that just be the way we do it all the time?
Right.
And I think when we kind of say, well, that's the way it is, or they're not going to let us change, then we've already started to let go of our own potential power. So think about a world where people actually might reach out directly to the person that they elected and say, I want to make sure that freedom of information gets passed over the line this year. I want to make sure that investment happens, that in the budget I see this thing happens because it's going to benefit me. It's going to benefit my community. When we have a freedom of information law in place, governments tend to make better decisions. Citizens tend to have more role and access. When you can't get the information, well, go get the information. What's going on the Atoll Island? You know what? Let me go look that up, make that request, and get that information. That process means that we're more effective, we're more efficient, we're less likely to waste money. So if people took that step, hey, I'm gonna write an email, I'm gonna write a letter, I'm gonna go down to the constituency office and I'm gonna say, I want you to make sure this thing happens. Well, we haven't tried that. Could that make a move? Could that start to move the needle so that all of a sudden political will is being driven more by the public will than by maybe partisan or party drivers, right?
Thoughts on that is that, you know, you have Bahamians, our history has been such that you find that a lot of people are very fearful of victimization, and some of these things that would be done in other countries, such as writing a simple letter saying, listen, you did X, Y, Z, I don't know why you did it, could you explain it to me, because I didn't like it based on the way I feel about it, but maybe, you know, immediately persons worry, if mm-hmm. I put my name out there, if I sign my name, you even the newspapers, let me just say this, because this has been a little bit of a pet peeve of mine for the past few years, not forever, just recently. You're seeing more and more, even letters in the newspaper, columns, whole columns are being written mm-hmm. under pseudonyms. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is crazy stuff, and it's very disappointing because it seems that we're moving into a situation where we're more afraid, less afraid, to have our voices out there, and I don't like it.
When you're feeling in crisis or when you're feeling distrustful, you're not going to take as much a risk, right?
Right.
So, but when we go back and we think about collective action, and you look at the 50 years of independence and beyond that, there's been a lot of measured moves for collective action. We see Bahamians on a regular basis saying, I'm going to sit out. I'm not going. I'm going to, you know, people who are connected to labor movements, right. Groups that are, you know, that have a specific thing, people that are connected to a religious belief, they come forward. That collective action is huge.
The group offers the group. Protection.
So when we think about the fact that if an MP got two letters that said, hey, we want this to happen, sure, that's got to be challenging. If an MP got 100, got 200.
Yeah, that's different.
I mean, the constituency
we
votes
need to
are,
do
tend
a,
to be
a little party.
Right.
And then we go right as a group and send that in.
Right. And so that's why we work also on building the capacity of civil society organizations. Over our history, we've done the two national conclaves for civil society. We're doing training for civil society. We did last year, we had 90 some groups that went through. We've got another 60 going right now. All of those things help to establish there are groups that you can go with,
right,
to be able to work with like-minded folks to be able to say, we're going to tackle this issue of the environment,
I think it's important for more Bahamians to hear that and then to find their mini village, you know,
right,
what I mean? And
right,
it'll make it easier.
All right, we got to get to the break. We'll go over into 5 o'clock just a little bit. Matt, I appreciate you going over with us for a couple of minutes, even though I didn't ask until just now, and I appreciate that. So
you got credit with me.
There you go. We're going to go over into the interview and take a quick break now. Cuban Whitney's Immigration Report, brought to you, of course, by the Island Games, coming up out of the break. Today's Wednesday. Got a lucky three ball for you. We'll get into the news, and on the flip side of the news, we'll wrap things up with Matt Aubrey. We'll get into the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll be talking sports. So keep it right where you got it. The Wednesday, July 24th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Bucket for the crow, share a bucket together, everybody go live. Crispy original when we're online.
Bucket together under the new dance craze.
Pot KFC Summer Bucket Deal. 8 pieces of your favorite fried chicken and 4 buttery biscuits with options to add family fries, a 2-liter switcher, and 4 pineapple biscuits starting at $20. KFC, it's finger licking good.
We go everywhere. Shop early at Janae's Chesapeake Road annual back-to-school sale going on now. Get up to 20% off on all school items in stock. Yes, all school items in stock. Shirts, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, school neckties, PE shorts, and a variety of colors and school monograms. Shop early and don't miss out at Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road's annual back-to-school sale going on now. Remember, we go everywhere. Beat the rush and save, save, save at Janae's annual sale now.
It's so hot. I think I might melt.
Here's the AC remote. Go ahead and cool down.
Cool down your hot days with power from a renewable energy system and reduce your electricity cost. CIBC Caribbean offers up to 100% financing on residential photovoltaic systems to power your home. Ask your relationship manager or a sales specialist about our renewable energy loans. You may also visit CIBCFCIB.com/renewable energy loans for more information. Conditions apply.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Feeling lucky? Here's Cuban Willie's numerology report. Brought to you by the Island Game.
Hola, buenos días. Soy yo, Cuban Willie. It's Wednesday, the home day, the middle of the week, and you know I have your lucky three ball for today in my numerology report, of course, by the Island Game. And the three ball today is 920-920, the 920, the three ball. Bet it, save it, forget it, and win with the Island Game. Stay winning, my friend.
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenty Plan, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Fenty Plan, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Fenty Plan, Island Game, we got you. Percy Fenty Plan, from the friends you can trust. Come play the game, you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
We're at you on the Wednesday, July 24th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty, along with Mary Jane and your company, right up until 6 p.m. We may have a Pearly starting in the 5 o'clock hour, but I know he's tied up at an
Early.
Appointment right now.
Okay.
So he may be a little bit tired, but he will be joining us. If not, MJ and I will take you through the 6 o'clock hours. I'm going to wrap up with Matt in short order here, and we'll talk about sports. But I got a couple of texts I need to get to. Get these out of the way. Big up to everybody who texted in as well. Hey, Naughty, and your guest. Bless up to my Grand Bahama homegirl in studio with you today.
Shout out fellow Grand Bahamian.
In reference to the morgue situation, while you rightly expressed concern for the employees who are affected by this, there is also the issue of the effect this will have on our community.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I might share a personal example. I got news today that a lifelong friend of mine passed away this morning. Sorry for your loss. Condolences to you and to their family. So per usual, I called his family to offer my condolences. To my surprise and dismay, along with the trauma of losing her only brother, my friend's sister can't even stop to mourn because she's now worried about how his remains will be handled.
Right.
This is grossly unfair and disturbing, and is a true example of how these issues that our officials see as small matters can be emotionally catastrophic to our community. God knows we deserve better.
Right.
You know, I agree. I agree with that texter 100%, you know. To be going through something, experiencing the loss of a loved one, and then to have this added on top of that is a
hard enough
to stress you out.
When you're dealing with a funeral home and a funeral director who does that for a living, and they're trying to make it as easy as possible for you.
Exactly.
It's still in the back of your mind because as best as you try to make sure my loved one is taken care of, I know we got a morgue situation.
Right.
Yes.
These bigger picture issues really do have an effect on day-to-day life.
Yeah.
Here's another text that I need to look at. Let me put it back up. We're on this phone right here. Yeah, question, Naughty. The only Alpha Island approval I've read about so far is for construction of a dock. I may have missed it, but did someone submit a document approving cutting down of hills and development on the island proper?
I didn't see any reporting on that at all. The fact that we're still asking questions on this, there's been some reporting on it, but it seems like we don't have enough information. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping that we could hear some more either from Mr. Lundy and his team. I know that, like I said, St. Anne's MP Adrian White has spoken a lot on this. He actually brought this to the forefront, so props to him for that, because I don't think people were talking about this issue, potential issue, as much before he mentioned it. So we just need to follow up some more. It's terrible. I often, you know, think that it's crazy that these issues that should be able to be resolved rather quickly so we could move on to other things often are, you know, kind of drawn out for weeks and weeks. But hopefully we get some responses to find out exactly what's happening on Athol Island, what the approvals are for, who the persons are. I saw one name mentioned in the Tribune. I don't know. But we'll find out who the persons are involved in it and exactly, you know, the whole, the breadth of the approvals that they receive, so we know exactly what's happening there. I wanted to ask Matt this question because he said something that was very interesting earlier. And when I read the article where the U.S. talked about the investment climate and that kind of thing, they said that there are no specific protections for NGOs involved in investigating corruption. I was like, wow, that would be quite an interesting thing if we had that here. An NGO that just, you know, did the work for us and investigated and like brought us to results. I know that would be quite a thing to have to take on.
And it ties again into all these different pieces and why they make a difference. So just to the last example you talked about, you can't have transparency and accountability sporadically.
Right.
It's got to be in place. It's in place and it's consistent. So having a value towards these mechanisms of transparency, you can then ensure that whistleblowers or groups that are investigating or media that it has a key role in ensuring bringing these things forward is protected, supported, and incentivized to do so. Like that's what you ultimately want. It benefits not only the public, but it benefits the government. The many folks that are doing a great job in government are going to be better recognized, are going to be able to do the things they need to do and what they know they should be doing without feeling like either they're being put through a coals because of something else that happened with a bad apple or at the behest of perception, because information is readily available, clearly available, and then can be used the way that it should be to reinforce public trust or to ensure that if there is an issue, that issue is understood and it's addressed the right way.
You just said something that made that kind of gave me a mini aha moment. Do we have a value towards these things? Because if we had a greater value, if we really ask ourselves, is this important to me, that my government is able to give me the information when we request it? If that's really important to me, you know, how much am I willing to put an effort into seeing that that comes to fruition? Do Bahamians, in your opinion, put a value on this? I mean,
I think it's
a scary thought.
So I think it's an answer that every individual needs to ask themselves,
yes,
right?
Yes, I think so.
But I think the perception that things like freedom of information and transparency is just what a few folks are really talking about and it's kind of pie in the sky is something that needs to be tested out. I can say from our experience, having gone around to various communities in the Family Islands here in Nassau and talking to folks who typically don't get a chance to talk, those vulnerable communities that don't tend to be a part of these dialogues, what we're hearing out there is, yeah, they do understand freedom of information. They do think that transparency and accountability are crucial. It's their money. They want to know how it's being spent. They only have so much. You don't want to make sure that it's either being wasted or ending up in somebody's pocket. But where people are falling off is, do they see or understand how they can bring that information forward, or will they be able to utilize it to make sure that themselves, their communities, and those will be able to be bettered in a safe, meaningful way?
All right, we got to get to this call. Talking Heads.
Callie.
Talking Heads.
Callie, this is Talking Away, so along with you and your panel, Naughty.
Hey, what's going on, Brandon?
Really, I'm thinking, you know, it seems as if so we need a ministry of the morgue.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, because they would get all the inside, you know, workings and, you know, objectives, and, you know, they would know what to do, you know, because we're paying our tax money anyhow.
Right.
Just, you know, just do it. We don't need all of this problem.
Right. No,
right?
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah.
And I agree with you, Brandon.
I feel frustrated like that too, you know.
You need to know that your loved ones are going to be taken care of and you can have some sort of ease of mind, peace of mind during that time of bereavement?
I think the call of Bremen is doing something that, like, I do too. And I sometimes I have to stop and say,
I'd rather Bremen say, hey, let's have a minister of the morgue, and let's go down to the morgue and bust corn because they holding our family members for too long.
I hear you. But him saying, okay, we need a ministry of the morgue, that was like me last week. I was like, okay, but we need a ministry of justice because what's happening in the Belize Force? It's just too.
Right.
And so we're always creating these other layers of, it will end up being more bureaucracy for us because we're so frustrated. It's like, okay, well, maybe if we did this thing, this will solve our problems.
I think it's a challenge because the truth is, in some instances, that is the right mechanism. If long as you then had, if you're putting together a ministry, you have the mechanisms to understand what was done, why is it being done, how do we measure if it's being done, how can we evaluate, yeah, that was done correctly, what are the results? And so when we don't have mechanisms that report out, hey, we did this, or we can check and say, hey, these were issues or obstacles, and we still need to figure those out, if that happens only once in a while, you don't get in the habit of saying, yeah, I believe that this money investment is going to bring what we need.
Right.
And that's the challenge, right?
I could read between the lines of a lot of what you're saying. And this is why I'm so, you know, thankful for the work that org is doing over the last couple of years. I know it's slow. It's like a wheel that's spinning in molasses, but it's rising. So soon it'll be out of the molasses and that wheel will be turning really, really quickly. But I think that a lot of Bahamians want to see things change. They want to do a lot, but I often, and you know, I'll say this to Nani sometimes too, like there's so much that we want to do, but commitments, mm-hmm. you're busy, you're raising children, sometimes you feel like it's enough to just go and vote. You're doing a civic duty. Maybe you do jury duty. You're doing a civic duty. Sometimes you feel like that's enough, but it in this environment that we're in now, it's not enough because we're taking a long time to get someplace that we need to be. And if we got there, things would be a little bit easier.
And org is in place to be able to help that happen.
Right.
Folks can get involved with us by going to our website and joining, so you get our newsletters and find out about our events. You can come and attend some of the events that we're presenting. We just did an Active Citizen Bahamas session with girls from Princess Court Ministry.
That's pretty cool.
34 young girls are learning and empowering. How do they use their voice? How do they understand the system of governance? How are they going to be more effective in helping to support their communities, uplifting others around them? Those types of activities happen on a regular basis with us. So make sure you join us at orgbahamas.com. Follow us on Org Bahamas Foundation on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram. Give us a call. Send an email to info@orgbahamas.com. Let us know you're interested, and we'll figure out the way that you can get involved, either through our online tools that will keep you involved and give you information about laws that are going to happen and ways you can express your ideas and thoughts on trainings like our Active Citizens Bahamas or our Freedom School trainings that teach you about the way that governance is run here and giving you a mechanism of how you can get involved and build those skills and those muscles about civic involvement. Or you want to help to support your best and most local civic organization, which we help to build so that they can understand how to be more effective through leadership or fundraising or communication or advocacy. All of those things as a not-for-profit are what we're bringing to the table. And if we do them consistently, more and more of us are going to be prepared to do that heavy lifting. That's when things start to change. It's not just one group. It's all of us.
It's funny. You talked about the teenagers that had their program and mm-hmm. then the young ladies. So the young people, they seem to be really involved. Like they're really invested in seeing a lot of different, changes. How do the other demographics look? I'm just curious, because I know that our generation, the X and the Y, we always get accused of being falling down on the job, we're not doing enough. And I wonder, do you see participation from people like
we do? All of our Family Island visits result in some really powerful things. A letter writing campaign started in Eleuthera so that we could start to see reflectors on the lights. You know, when it's so dark in South America, you're driving around. Now we're starting to see a movement towards that. We saw folks, the adults in Abaco, particularly some of our disabilities groups that were coming forward and wanting to learn how do they make their voice a little louder and become more effective in advocacy. Some of our Family Island business associations or chambers have stepped forward, and you're seeing active members coming forward, Rotaracts and our college age folks, we're seeing so much movement in so many different ways.
Oh, that's cool.
There's only five of us at ORG doing all this work, so we always rely upon our volunteers.
That's a heavy load, yeah,
that's
support. A lot.
But we've done a great job, I think, of starting to foster this and help those people that are interested in getting involved find pathways to do so. It's a long run, as you said. It does take a little while. We are working kind of uphill sometimes, but we're dedicated to keep it moving. We definitely want folks to join us. Our tagline is get informed and get involved, and I think that's the formula for success, and we just got to keep doing that moving forward.
Excellent.
Good stuff as always, Matt. And what I do have to ask you before I get out of here, you do have a few folks chiming in, and I think the lay of the land is, you know, the gist of it is, how do unions get involved with ORG?
So we've had some good partnerships over past with different labor groups. Some that have been around skill development. We did a whole skill development focus. Most recently, we've talked a little bit about governance, because any institution still needs to be run in a way that's transparent and accountable, and it benefits the institutions, those unions that have done so. They see greater interest from their members, a greater understanding of how decisions are being made. And collectively, it's already a group that's motivated to get involved. So if it lines up behind a social or a political issue, there's a lot that can be done. When you look at the region, we've seen great examples of a lot of the trade unions get involved in issues like tax justice or debt justice or issues related to disaster preparedness. So we want to make sure that those groups that are already collected can be using that power in a way that makes sure that we're going to have long-term sustainable change that will not only benefit their industry, but the communities that they serve.
Another question. Will ORG be holding regular meetings with other nonprofit organizations to keep everybody on the same page?
Yeah, we do a lot of work internal to the sector, not only in terms of, as we said, ways for those organizations to run their businesses more sustainably or be more effective in their mission, but coming into the fall, we're going to be doing work on freedom of information. In September is Right to Access Day internationally. We're going to be talking more about the concepts of getting folks involved and engaged around the budget so that they have an understanding coming into next year's budget of how they can make sure their interests are reflected in those numbers.
Right.
And all of that's going to happen through organizations and groups in the community. So absolutely, if there's a group that you are interested in connecting with us, by all means, give us a ring, shoot us an email at info@orgbahamas.com. We need to work together. All sides of the coin need to be represented enough for us to make the sustainable change that's necessary.
And I got one more to do, and then we'll wrap up with you, Matt. Naughty, your 5 p.m. news break just reported that there was no approval for on-island development and a cease and desist letter was sent on two occasions, the last in April of this year. That investor needs to get a $1 million fine. We're talking about the lives of thousands of Bahamians, as the BNT says. Atalatin protects Northeast New Providence from storm surges. These people need to learn to respect the environment and that they can't just do anything to profit themselves because they think nobody's looking. And that is a question that I wanted to ask based off of that. Texter, good stuff. I was going to tell you almost the same thing because I have a cease and desist order that's been put in one of the dailies again today. So they have been warned. Now you have to look, why are they not moving? Why are they not budging? And connect the dots as to who's involved. But this does speak to the environment. And Matt, you know I'm very passionate about the environment. Why on so many occasions do we still have this argument when projects are put up? Did they get the environmental impact survey? Did they get the environmental impact study? Has it been approved? And a lot of things seems to be going on without the I's dotted and the T's crossed, or the T's dotted and the I's crossed, however you want to say it.
And the Environmental Protection Acts that are in place are pretty substantial, and it's very specific. They could definitely be enhanced in many ways, but bringing it down to a very direct level, when that information is done and those things are established based on whatever objective criteria is, that should be the indicator of moving forward. That's what the law says. If that's not happening, then what are the mechanisms to ensure that people
can... It does happen.
Guess what it is? Freedom of information. Guess what people could go to say, hey, I don't think this is the right situation. I need somebody to help me through. That would be an ombudsman. let's say that, you know, contracts were given XYZ and it's a government contract. Hey, let's find out where that information is. Let's get that. Let's go look at the procurement acts. Let's find and make sure that there's no conflicts of interest of those folks that are elected or appointed officials to make sure that, guess what that is? That's Public Disclosures Act. All of these things in place, we have them on the books. We need to see the benefit of all of them working together to ensure that this place is a place where we see integrity being valued, where we see the interests of the people reflected in the decisions. And when circumstances or challenges or concerns come up, there should be a very simple and straightforward way to resolve them that doesn't get back caught up into the political back and forth. My side said yes, your side said no.
The thing about org that's so good is that
you are, to laugh at these texts.
You are like that. You are like that umbrella for a lot of other civil organizations. You know, what about the technocrats in these ministries that have charge over like the Ombudsman Act as well as FOIA? Do they stay in contact with you? Do they seek out your information input? Do they like kind of tell you, okay, well, we know you've been pushing this. We're moving in this direction. Yeah. Keep the faith. We're getting there. Anything like that to give us hope?
Org is definitely not anti-government by any means. We work very closely.
I would think that you work with them a lot, right?
And we sit on a lot of different committees and task force and contribute and make efforts and are sought out in terms of consultations in different ways.
Of course.
A lot of those technocrats are people that have been there through administrations and are continuing to put forward and do the right thing and make things happen. But in a system where you don't have that easily available information, where, you know, even information across government ministries sometimes isn't exchanged very well, or there's inconsistent approaches the way one thing might be done in another ministry and another, there's a lot of static and red tape that has to get done.
And
duplication, right? So that becomes, again, the mechanism that transparency and accountability can help to determine. Looking at an effective public service, an efficient public service is crucial, but you got to have some measurement. You got to have some data. You got to know what's working, what's not, in order to craft solutions that help to determine this is how we fix this, not just now, but for a while.
I'm just, I mean, based on everything that I've heard, all of the times that I've spoken to you over the years and just the information that I've gathered over these past years, I'm of the opinion that the country would be more prosperous, we'd be richer, we'd be able to do business much easier, and we'd be less stressed out if we had some of these things in place, if we had the transparency. So that's the benefit of it, because people think that it's some, like, kind of like ethereal idea. Oh, we want to be, you know, like other democracies. We want freedom because that's the thing to do. No, I mean, it has real practical benefits, right?
And it is the kind of thing that it's hard. You know, we all want to be in great shape. We all want to eat healthy. We all want to have, you know, a little savings that we put aside so that we can retire. But the day-to-day issues, when they're that challenging, it's hard to allocate enough time to be able to do that. So that is one of the things we're working at, is how do we make sure that people feel like you, that if I spent some time, if I put some effort, that I took a little bit of risk and made sure that those folks that I put in charge know these are my concerns, these are my interests, not just in the big picture, but in my day-to-day, in my constituency, what would that look like? How would that change?
Right. What's the end result?
Right.
What's going to benefit me? How is it going to benefit me?
The next election, you want folks to have a card with their concerns and interests when those people come to their houses. You don't want them to wait and say, what are you going to do for me? You want them to say, these are what I need you to do for me, because this is how my family and my community is going to be successful.
Yeah.
Naughty, MJ, and Matt. Freddie already stated that he is not on the Freedom of Information Act run, and now he's wearing platform shoes like DeSantis. Ain't nothing happening for you on any Freedom of Information Act.
Really, Texter? The shoes?
DeSantis platform shoes, really?
The shoes, Texter, anyway.
Ain't no way to speak to that.
Other than to say,
if you've heard nothing today, Freedom of Information isn't for us, right? Freedom of Information is for you. And if you think it's important and you see the value and the benefit on what it could do for us long term and reducing some of these things you keep seeing in the newspaper all the time, now's the time to step forward. Now's the time to say, hey, let's reach out to org and find out, how do we write these letters? How do we prepare for a meeting? How do we put together a group that could say, let's get this letter out to say, we want this thing to move this year.
Right.
We want to make sure that there's an investment so that the Freedom of Information Commissioner, who said, if we had the resources, we could get this thing over the line, has the resources. It's not an org initiative. It's a Bahamas initiative.
And I'm going to appeal to all of the Gen X and Gen Ys out there, because people say that we don't, you know, pull our weight enough. We don't do enough to be involved. This is the perfect time to do it. If you're like me, you have kids and they're out of school right now. So even though life is torture, you do have a few extra moments here and there where you could get some stuff done. Maybe this is the time to, you know, to do it and to get involved, because it really does. It really will benefit us. And I'll tell you something else, because Matt kind of touched on it. I'll tell you something else. This generation that's coming up behind us, they're not taking any prisoners. So if it is things we want to see done in society, if we want to mold it in a particular way based on our values, then we have to get involved. We have to do more. We have to say more. And I know sometimes it's a risk, but it is a risk worth taking.
All right, let's get to the phone lines real quick before Matt gets out of here. Talking Heads.
A pleasant good afternoon. Good morning.
What's happening, Sparky?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm listening to your guests and everything. Naughty, let me go back to talking and talking. I heard the lady just said this generation coming up ain't taking no prisoners. Let me tell you something, Naughty. We came to power with Finland from Finland time. Mm-hmm. Grandfather dead and gone.
Mm.
He was telling us what the UBP was doing to us.
Mm-hmm.
He was a generation, him and 80 of them went off to school, came back and said, they need to change freedom of information. They needed to change what the UBP was doing to us. Then another generation came behind Finland, Mr. Ingram and Conferry Christie them. That was another generation that was saying what the last generation, what Finland them did to us. Then another generation came and graduated. See, this is always the year, the time of year, where the schools have graduations, people coming out of universities with master's degrees and everything, coming back home to their homeland and stuff like that. These are the generations who are supposed to be changing things from the last generation, which says that they wasn't taking no prisoners.
Right.
So, Sparky, since we've been all repeating it over and over and we still ain't got no Freedom of Information Act, we tried it that way. Let's try and act it now and see how it goes with a Freedom of Information Act.
Well,
I,
mean,
I think we lost Sparky.
Yeah, I think we lost
Sparky. But Matt, listen, I appreciate you chiming in and stopping in and getting us caught up as usual. Greatly appreciated.
Always good to talk to you.
And you know,
you,
although it has a platform here.
I appreciate it. And all those sports fans that are dying to get that information, we appreciate you listening on
the extra portion. Yeah, I'll get to them in a second, man. But all the best, like I said, and whenever you need to get on, whenever you need to get the message out, definitely, you know, mi casa es tu casa. You know that already.
We always appreciate it. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the information and for the encouragement. We're going to keep fighting, and we know you will as well.
All the time, man.
Certainly.
I tell you, get it. You know, I got to see it happen. I got to see it through. If I get paid for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl, I can see that through.
It's like rooting the same way, right?
There you go.
This
so
is the year.
We're going to take a quick break. On the flip side of the break, MJ and I will be talking some sports with you right up until the top of the hour, and we'll get you ready for, you know, a good final 10 with Colin Cowherd or Rich Eisen. All coming up on the flip side of the break, we'll be talking sports as the Wednesday, July 24th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Looking for quality food at affordable prices? Look no further than Solomon's. Our stores offer unbeatable savings on your overall basket without compromising on quality. From quality produce to pantry staples, we have everything you need to create delicious and nutritious meals for less. When it comes to your grocery budget, don't sacrifice quality for value. Come to Solomon's and experience the best of both worlds.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience. You want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch, conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well, what the
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenton Plan. Island game, keep you winning. Percy Fenton Plan. Dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Fenton Plan. Island game, we got you. Percy Fenton Plan. From the friends you can trust, it's winning is a must. Go play the game, you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane!
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
We've got it locked and loaded to Talking Heads, the Wednesday, July 24th edition of Talking Heads. We're going to talk some sports for you right now. But MJ, I have to share this. And I want to thank my people on the streets. I want to thank the Naughty Nation on the road who has supported me in getting these denied oxygen in the womb individuals out of the handicapped parking spots. But my God, as much as I fight and as much as I go back and forth, MJ, I can let you look at the picture. When you have a cabinet minister going in the parking lot.
Oh, wow.
Out west, Hoffa Plaza, in the handicap parking, and I frequent that parking lot a lot. I know that like the back of my hand.
Yikes.
Okay, so not for my sake, not for your sake, but for Jesus' sake, tell us why, as a cabinet minister 20 is the license plate.
Right.
Why you got your disrespectful behind in the handicap parking? You already should know that you work for the citizens of the Bahamas. You work for us. You're then violating us every which way but loose. Taxation and all kind of foolishness. Now you can take the handicap parking.
Wow.
From the handicap individual disabled persons.
Weren't we just talking about this the other day?
We just had Kenny on here.
We did. Cabinet, okay, so the license plate is CM20.
Now, one of my friends in the Royal Bahamas Police Force, y'all let me know who CM20 is, please.
So, I'm not sure which cab, but whoever is CM20, they got you in 4K. I'm looking at the picture. This is definitely your vehicle with your license plate number, and it is parked in a well-known and established handicap
dirty work right there
spot. So why would that happen?
I can call it. That's the handicap right outside of Simsy. So y'all want me to tell you that's right out in front of Simsy.
Did we
that's
have how any well cabinet ministers lot. Recently suffer any physical injury where they, you know, couldn't walk?
Only the PM with sciatica.
Only the PM with sciatica.
And when my sciatica kicks up, I can still walk.
Maybe someone else, and we don't know. So they could tell us if they broke their leg or something.
Again, being called crazy or brain damage does not constitute you.
Because
you got to have papers saying that. That you can park there.
This is terrible. This is terrible. CM20.
And listen, the MP who is responsible for that vehicle with the plate CM20, if you didn't do it, your donor driver did it. So you need to rein them in and let them know what, you know, the idiocy that they conducted.
The lunacy, the stupidity. The plate is issued for the benefit of that cabinet minister, right? So the buck stops with them. So whoever cabinet minister 20 is, they're responsible for wherever the government
issued car.
And
that
last time I checked,
that
don't give you rights to park in handicap parking.
Goes and parks. And this isn't a, yeah, the person.
Last
week
the police. Now this week the MP. So how in the heck do you expect the police for us to stay out of the handicap parking if the MPs are in the handicap parking?
And it's the small things. You know, we talk about leadership. We talk about setting examples. Yeah.
Somebody let me know who CM20 is.
Maybe someone knows who CM20 is. Then we can ask them
Naughty,
if they broke their leg.
CM20 driver or not, they should know better. Exactly, Dexter.
Yeah,
and
no,
listen,
exactly.
You're
it doesn't matter if it's a driver. The minister ultimately would be, the buck should stop at whomever is CM20, Cabinet Minister 20, because the vehicle that was issued for their benefit with their plate on it.
The Suburban.
Yeah.
Sorry, Explorer.
Yeah,
sorry, Explorer. Black Explorer.
It's parked in a handicapped parking spot and we
Cabinet,
talked about
wait,
that.
Who's driving Explorer? Hold on.
I think they all have Explorer. I think their vehicles would be very similar. So
somebody
I think
need to tell me who Cabinet Minister 20 is.
Explorers.
I tell you what, by the end of the show today, or when I'm back on Friday, whoever could tell me who Cabinet Minister 20 is, which Cabinet Minister that is, you get passes to Joker's Wild for you and a yes. You get lunch or dinner your choice from Naughty Johnny's for you and a yes. And I go queue with some KFC as well for yourself. You can come pick it up right from here. I got to start rewarding you for this good work.
Cabinet Minister 20, they got your picture. I'm looking at it. It is the vehicle with the plate on it. If you have a good explanation for why you were parked or your vehicle issued to you is parked in the handicapped spot, you need to let us know because this is absolutely disgusting. We just talked about this the other day.
Texas,
don't park in the handicapped spot.
Naughty.
Okay?
I hope he or she broke their leg, and if they didn't, I hope they do for parking in the handicapped spot.
We're going to give you, I mean, not really, but if you have an explanation, now would be the time because I'm sure this picture will be all over the place pretty soon.
There is no explanation, but guess what? What I'm going to do now to really get this rolling, I'm going to send this now to the office of the Prime Minister. I'm also going to send it to the office of the leader of His Majesty's Loyal Opposition. And somebody need to start helping these disabled drivers get where they need to be. If not, this could be a problem.
And I go to that particular
that's in front of Simsy, right in front of Simsy liquor store.
And that's already a very, like, it's not the biggest parking lot. That front piece is very hard to navigate already, particularly if you're a disabled person. So imagine, I think it's like maybe two spots in the front of the plaza.
No. I'll
maybe
tell you where they are.
Three.
There's one when you come right in.
I mean the handicap spot.
Right,
okay,
when
so
you come right
on
in the first bay.
One on the other
there's
thing,
another one in the second
down
bay.
They are closer to like
third
the
third bay and last
between,
bay. There's four.
Okay, so it's four there and they went and took one. That parking lot is usually kind of busy, but that is no excuse. You could drive around to the back and
that's
go park in the back.
Work.
That's where the rest of us go and parked instead of using the disabled. Because remember, handicapped, you don't use handicap anymore.
It's disabled.
But disabled. The disabled persons
parking.
Would need to park there, so you shouldn't be there unless you're disabled. So, Cabinet Minister 20,
and you know what I need to do?
If you are disabled, please let us know, and we will apologize for putting you out there. For parking in the spot,
no,
but if you're not, if you don't have
an
explanation,
idea. I have to live up to what
you
I've been
called. Need to apologize.
I was named
apologize.
A disability icon, the media advocate, and guess what we're going to do? I am going to get some of my disabled friends, and they're going to the House of Assembly.
You know who should
and
tell
we need
us
to ask who Cabinet Minister 20 is in the House of Assembly
hey,
and
hey,
explain
you know,
to us why you're taking
something.
Disabled
said,
parking.
And you talked about the certificate for the award you got. Didn't Mr. Mouth LaRota sign that? So, Mr. LaRota, can you find out who Cabinet Minister 20 is?
If that's boy, you sharp,
ironic,
hey?
It'll be ironic, hey?
You see why I'm married.
Mr. LaRota, could you tell us who Cabinet Minister... Could you have a word with your colleague? Parking in the disabled spot?
Yeah, Mr. LaRota, you can be a champion of the disabled.
And it better not be you, Mr. LaRota.
No, you know, I look into this and I look into this.
It better not be you, because 20 is kind of down on the list, right?
You know what?
The more senior cabinet ministers are up at the top with the single digit. So 20 little to
yeah.
the end of the table.
Down to the
that
bottom.
Better not be you, Mr. LaRota. Anyway, could you find out for us, please, who's
and
number 20?
You see, you text us, you know, yeah, Naughty, I agree with you. You married way up. Listen here, Texter. I already know I outkicked my coverage on the kickoff, okay? I already know I outkicked my coverage, okay? What have you done?
We'll find out who that is. And thank you for all of you intrepid Bahamians out there that send the pictures in. When you see something that's so wrong, like
listen,
that, take the time.
On another note, though,
and send us
I would like to send out our condolences to Mr. LaRota and his family on the passing of his son.
Yes, I don't want you to think
I'm taking a shot at him. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Mr. LaRota. You know,
it's a rough
gentleman. Whenever I need an answer or a call, always there. So I do hope, you know, that our thoughts and prayers go out to him. And put him up in your thoughts and prayers. There, for the grace of God, go you or I.
It's sad.
But I do implore Mr. LaRota to talk to your colleague.
He will. I'm sure, you know, you give him his time, but I'm sure he will. Because he's an advocate. Mm. He is an advocate for the disabled community. So I'm sure he's none too pleased.
Well, we got to get to the break, MJ, because Colin Cowherd and Rich Eisen taking us home today. And they got a good breakdown. They got LeBron's Olympic heroics.
I mean, he's doing so well, right? Like, he's saving some games. Someone told me the other day they almost lost it. Is it South Sudan?
South Sudan, and then Germany.
If it wasn't for that last-minute shot by LeBron to save the day, you got to admit, he saved their reputation on that one. That would have been embarrassing.
Yes, because, you know,
shout out to King James.
When you get spoiled watching the original Dream Team and Kobe Bryant go 36-0 as an Olympian, you get spoiled.
And then it was the Redeem Team, right?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't Kobe the Redeem Team?
Of course.
Okay, so Jordan was with the Dream Team.
Kobe then was the Redeem Team.
So what is this one being called?
The Sheen Team, because all of them got bad hair and they spraying on that hairspray, especially LeBron with his hairline on his neck.
You know what? You need to stop.
We going to the break, man. Pearly got you all tomorrow. He'll hold it down, and MJ and I will be back in on Friday, all right? Be good, Bahamas, and if you can be good at it. We'll see you mañana on Talking Heads.
Condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
We're gonna give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Plenty Plan, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Plenty Plan, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Plenty Plan, Island Game, we got you. Percy Plenty Plan, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must, come play the game, you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
Book it together, come pick me, book it together. Hey, book it together, book it together.
We are book it together when everybody out. Yeah. Fried chicken, we are pre bucket for the crow. Share a bucket together, everybody go live. Ooh. Crispy original when we're online.
Book it together and do the new dance craze. Yeah.
Pot KFC Summer Bucket Deal. 8 pieces of your favorite fried chicken and 4 buttery biscuits with options to add family fries, a 2-liter switcher, and 4 pineapple biscuits. Starting at $20. KFC, it's finger licking good.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
You're listening to Talkin' Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Haven't seen him in a while. He's been on vacay. Certainly deserves it. By the way, first things first, now a 2-hour show, 90 minutes previously. Yeah. So if Nick's poking and prodding and stunts on a daily basis left you feeling hungry, if you wanted more.
There's now more. 33% more. Still, you know, still shy of the network gold standard of 3 hours staring into the camera. But now we're 2/3 of the way there. So at some point, you know, we'll see. But I'm very happy. And also, it's cleaner. 3 to 5 just feels better than ending on a half-hour mark at always. So, yeah, that is true. That started Monday. Yeah. Unfortunately, Chris Broussard, gets more vacation than anyone on this network other than Colin Cowherd. So he's not here for it, but he'll be here Monday. So we'll have us all back Monday.
All right, here's who doesn't get a vacation ever, LeBron James. It's interesting. When Michael got into his later years, I mean, his teammates in Washington didn't like him. There was resentment.
The fact of the matter that he's the flag bearer for Olympic basketball means even the young people like him. You're not surprised by that, but I've always felt LeBron, because of stylistically, he's kind of a lubricator, not an agitator. He tends to be an elevator. He's aging really well. Not just his game, but the flag bearing is like notable, right?
Well, so the flag bearer stuff, I'm not that surprised by. I mean, I guess it's a little surprising because no male basketball player has ever been given that honor. But the things that did surprise me was the players voted who's the best player on the team. The only person to get more than two votes is the oldest player in the league, LeBron James. He got five. They have shown you at the end of these last two games who they think the best player on the team is, and that's LeBron. What is remarkable, Colin, is that right now, on a team with Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Steph Curry, who's older but not nearly as old as LeBron, all, you know, the most talented Olympic team maybe ever, a soon-to-be 40-year-old LeBron James appears to be the best player on the team. And I this is the thought exercise I've done, because I understand if folks want to say that given the fact the injury risk and given the fact that because of his age you can't rely on him for 80 games, you have players A, B, C ahead of him over the course of a season. That's one thing. But the question I have is this. Aside from Jokic, Luka, and Giannis, who are obviously international players, under these circumstances, which is you're going to play an Olympic schedule and everyone's healthy, there are no nagging injuries, is LeBron the best player there is? Other than the three guys, Luka, Jokic, and Giannis.
Yeah.
Is LeBron at age 39 still a top five player in the world? He appears to be proving it,
yeah,
which is utterly remarkable.
Yeah. By the way, flag bearer for all of the Olympics, so not just basketball, which again points to the fact there's no animosity, despite his net worth, his titles, his fame. There's no animosity. Everybody said, let LeBron bring out the flag. That's pretty cool, yeah, in my opinion. So really cool. I said this. I think the last 8 years with Dak have been good. And that's kind of what the Cowboys always are. But they have an 81-year-old owner who thinks he's the GM, calls himself that. And CeeDee Lamb's holding out. And because they have such a scarcity of weapons offensively, they'll have to pay him. They'll have to pay him. They don't have to pay Micah yet because of DeMarcus Lawrence. And Dak wouldn't hold out. That's not his personality. But they're going to have to pay CeeDee Lamb. He holds out. They're not winning football games. And Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat. No. So my takeaway here is this year will mark in a much stronger NFC than previous years. San Francisco, Detroit, Green Bay, Philadelphia, really good. Washington, Chicago could have star rookie quarterbacks. Rams are out of their rebuild. This season will mark the slow decline. Maybe not
Atlanta
in New England.
Be
yeah, I think the Cowboys from this point forward, slow decline, don't make the playoffs. Your thoughts?
Well, the don't make the playoffs, I saw you say this the other day. That, to me, it would not be a slow decline. That would be a very rapid decline. That, to me, is maybe a bridge too far for a team that has won 12 games, three consecutive seasons. But they obviously and undeniably have had a disastrous offseason. They have now painted themselves into this corner, Colin. Their three most important players, their quarterback, their best defensive player, and their best skill position player, all of them expect to become the highest paid ever at what they do. And that's not tenable. Dak is not going to sign a contract that is not the highest paid quarterback ever. Micah is not going to sign a contract that is not the highest paid defensive player ever. And because they waited so long with CD, he's not going to sign a contract that is not, forget highest paid wide receiver, that is not highest paid non-quarterback ever. And so once they sign CD, Micah's price actually goes up because he likely wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback ever. And them waiting on Dak sees what Trevor Lawrence got. He's about to see what Jordan Love's going to get. They have not handled this well at all. And to me, Colin, their only escape hatch is hoping and praying that a year from now, either Trey Lance is ready or they can reset the quarterback carousel price-wise by drafting a guy. It is not tenable to keep CeeDee and Micah, who you must keep, and to keep Dak Prescott. I think they're going to have to choose, and it would appear, I shouldn't say it would appear, I think they're going to choose to keep the two non-quarterbacks and recoup that money there.
So I defended Jordan Love's holdout the other day for this reason.
Sure.
He's been in the building 3 years before he started. And once an employee is in the building for 3 years, you can watch leadership, judgment, practice video that I don't see. This is not Anthony Richardson, 13 starts in college, Indianapolis gets hurt. You have no idea in the building what he is. Is that Jordan Love has more than proven. I know, just 8 great starts, but this position is about intelligence, leadership, maturity, and judgment. And I think he's past that with flying colors, plus the 8 games. Now, there's some pushback. We haven't seen a lot of him, but I would pay him even a little overpay to get him back on the field. Your thoughts?
Well, listen, I think this is the most interesting of all the quarterback situations. I think the Miami one's pretty straightforward. I don't think they are certain he's excellent, and they're very squeamish about paying him. The Dak one I just talked about, I think Dak wants $60 million a year, and the Cowboys don't feel like they can make that happen right now. Love and the Packers, I think, will get done because I think they're aligned. I think the Packers really like him. Obviously, he just wants to get paid and stay there. I think that the fly in the ointment for this deal actually is the deal my guy Trevor Lawrence got. When Joe Burrow is at $55 million or $54 million a year, it's easy for the Packers to say to Jordan Love, listen, you're not Joe Burrow. Look at his resume. But when Trevor Lawrence gets 5 years, $275 million, Jordan Love's people can be like, oh, Trevor Lawrence, you mean the guy with one playoff win and one excellent start to finish season? Well, that's the same thing my guy has. And so I understand your point, and it's not so much that I don't believe in Jordan Love as much as it is I understand the Packers' anxiety about this, because this would be the smallest sample size we've ever seen for a quarterback to get top of market money. And I think that's what's going to happen. I do think eventually they're going to pay him. And by the way, I don't blame Jordan at all for, you know, not practicing until he gets paid. I think that's something that Tua should have been considering, because it's the only leverage you have. But I don't think, I am more confident, I guess I would say, in C.J. Stroud being this level of quarterback than Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love might be, but I don't have enough yet to know it. But it doesn't really matter. The Packers are going to have to pay it on the hope that he is.
So a couple days ago, J-Mac and I got into a conversation. If you could pay quarterbacks based on what they deserve. Now, it never works in that linear fashion where, you know, everybody, it could be CEOs, broadcaster, whoever's the last guy to get paid is always top three. Otherwise, Mahomes would always be the highest paid, and Kirk Cousins won't eventually make more than Brady. But I said, in a perfect world, here's how I would pay the quarterbacks in order of what they accomplished. We have two superstars in the league. Mahomes is number one. Allen, a highly productive touchdown machine in terms of raw production, is two. They're different. A lot of Allen's shortcomings have been a bad O-line, a defensive head coach, no run game until last year. He's got better support. The second tier to me are great quarterbacks with a flaw. Lamar postseason, Stafford's age, Burrow's health, and Goff's immobility. And then four young quarterbacks, I'd like to see more, maybe more wins or more time, but I do feel like I'd pay him as a GM. Herbert, Stroud, Love, and Lawrence. Jalen Hurts, the odd man out, he would be 11. Anything jump out to you that you strongly agree or disagree with?
So, listen, I've noticed in sports media, quarterback pyramids, ranking things by tiers with names have become very in vogue. Yeah. I'm not sure who really got the ball rolling on that, but I imagine that everyone else in sports media is very grateful for it. I think your top tier is perfect, Colin, because between those two guys, you have a combined, let me get this, 7 Super Bowl wins, Super Bowl MVPs, and league MVPs between Mahomes and Allen. Wait, hold on, what's that? Oh, all 7 of those are Patrick's? Yeah, he probably should be on a tier by himself. So I don't like that. I got to tell you, I don't. You were listing Josh's flaws. The biggest one is, of course, the inability to beat the guy you have on the same tier as him in any game that matters his whole career.
That's fair.
So I would adjust it like this, Colin. I would have Patrick by himself, and then I would have Josh and Lamar on a tier by themselves, which are like, and I don't know what I would call it right now, but objectively excellent with just a little voice in the back of your head that concerns you, but the raw talent and ability is so high, it doesn't really matter. Like, for Lamar, it is, why do you always play your worst in the postseason?
Yeah.
For Josh, it is, why do you go from month to month? It's like, oh my God, this guy is going to run away with league MVP, to, oh my God, the reason the Bills turned their season around was they stopped letting him throw the ball.
Yeah.
But but they're still clearly probably second and third in the league, or certainly in the top 5. The biggest gripe I have is I wouldn't have Goff up there with those other guys.
I knew
because
that was
Goff's
coming.
Flaw, I know. Yeah, but you knew it was coming because you have a soft spot for Jared Goff, and I don't know why. I mean, he's good. I think that Goff's total inability, you called it lack of mobility, but total inability to function if the offensive line is not excellent, it, to me, knocks him down one. Where I will give you credit is for having the courage to not include the last two quarterbacks to lose in the Super Bowl out of the NFC in Jalen Hurts and Brock Purdy. Because I think Jalen, we now have a large sample size of his of college and pro career and only one excellent season.
That's right.
And the problem for Brock Purdy, listen, the numbers are great, the stats are great, the win-loss is great. What works against Brock Purdy is the fact that the games are televised. And as long as that continues to happen, people are going to have questions about if he's a top 10 quarterback in the league.
By the way, congratulations on that additional hour. I'm sure compensation will now increase.
You know, see, this is, I don't, like, Colin, I don't negotiate through the media. That's, you know what I mean? That's not what I do. I feel like me and the bosses here are on the same page. We value each other equally. Mm. And, you know, I'm sure if an adjustment needs to be made, then it'll be made. But I'm not, you know, I'm just here. Today's show's the most important show I'm going to do, and just one day at a time.
Pro tip, if they like you still, you're not asking for enough. So that's just a pro tip on that.
That is your philosophy. Oh, my God. You're really revealing a lot. That is great. All right. I'll talk to you later, bro. See ya.
Nick Wright. Hi, everybody. It's me, Uncle Colin. Subscribe here to get the latest from the herd, including exclusive behind-the-scenes videos and more, wherever you may be, however you may be watching. Thanks again for making us part of your day.